Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
I'm so excited for this morning. I believe the Lord gave me a word a couple of months ago that I have been praying over, and so I'm so excited to kind of share that with you this morning. If you're new to Hope, my name is Christy, and like my husband said, Josh, the lead pastor here, he said that we are married, and we have celebrated this week 20 years of marriage. And you guys, through a lot of prayer and fasting, I have decided that I'm going to keep him one more year. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to evaluate next year and just see where he's at, to see if he's changed a couple of things. Isn't it funny when I get this mic? It's so funny that some of the things that Josh has said over the years that I have sat down there and been like, what is he going to say? And now it's not an eye for an eye or evil for evil. It's just the goodness of the Lord just coming through this microphone right now. So anyway, happy Mother's Day to all of you mamas. Whatever season you are in, I just want to say we appreciate all the things that you do. I love my mom. She is watching online. I'm an only child, and so she has to because she needs to celebrate her child. But she is the most giving, most encouraging woman, and I am so privileged to be a mom to three vivacious girls that keep me on my toes. And so we learn how to have fun together. We learn how to live together, and we learn how to seek the Lord together. So it is one amazing ride. So I don't know about you, but over the last year, there's been a lot of shaking going on. Has there been a lot of shaking going on in your life? I felt a couple of little nuggets. We call these nuggets. This means that it's not the message. It's just a couple of nuggets. I say that at home when the girls are like, is this what you're trying to tell us today? And I'm like, no, these are just nuggets for you to tuck away. But I believe that the Lord wanted to give a word of encouragement today. And I have felt the heaviness of this last year. It's an all-consuming noise, not an all-consuming voices on either side trying to clamor for our attention, trying to clamor for our affection. And I was reading in Haggai 2, and this is not going to be on the screen, but it says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake the nations. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former glory, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord." In Habakkuk 1:5, it says, "Look among the nations and see wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your day that you would not believe if you were told." There has been shaking in our homes. There has been shaking at our jobs. There's been shaking in our attitudes, in our behavior, in our responses. There's been shaking in our beliefs. And I believe that the Lord is saying, it's what Charity said this morning in worship, that he is wanting first place. He is wanting the place of our heart. He is wanting our affections. And he is wanting to know where your affections lie this morning. And so that was one thing that I felt like the Lord wanted me to share. And he's just kind of maneuvering things back. Because why? Because the word says that when that shaking comes, then the glory comes. And so I'm ready for the glory to come. I'm ready for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this place. And so the kingdom of heaven to come to earth. Last week when I was in worship, this is another little nugget. I love these little things. I was in worship and the Lord spoke to me and said, "Raise your expectation." And so, church, I believe that we are to come to this place expectant. I believe that we are coming to a time where we are going to start seeing the things that we have been reading. We are going to start walking in the things that we have been taught. We are going to start doing the things that people have said and we know to do, and we're going to step out in faith and do, and we're going to see results. And I'm telling you what, it's time for us to pull on this property and come expecting that today could be the day, okay? And so this morning, I just want to shift a little bit of the atmosphere. And I felt like one of the things is I want to renew our minds this morning. I want to renew our minds. I want to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things that say, today is just another day. Today is just Mother's Day. Today, who knows if he's going to heal you? Today, who knows if he's going to touch you? That's the earthly way. But when we set our minds on things above, that means that God is released to do what only he can do. And so I want you just to close your eyes. If you're in the family center, close your eyes. I'm just going to pray over you and over this time today. So Father God, I thank you for your presence. Would you just pray with me too? I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your all-consuming presence. I thank you for your fire, for your wind, for your holiness. I thank you, God, that you are here before us. You are with us. You are walking among the aisles. You are in this building. You're in the children's wing. You're in the family center. You're online in people's homes and their offices, Lord. And I am so thankful for your presence. God, right now we welcome you, Holy Spirit, and we worshiped you this morning. But today I'm asking for your fresh wind and your fresh fire to consume us today. I am asking for the activity of God to be released in the worship center. I am asking for the activity of God to be released in the family center. I am asking for the activity of God to be released online in Jesus' name. We want to see, we want to feel, we want to touch, we want to smell, we want to taste the goodness of God today. We don't want to wait to read it out of a book. We don't want to wait until years from now. We want today to be today. And so God, I thank you. I thank you. Right now, I want you to think of the goodness of the Lord. I want you to think about something that the Lord has been good to you about, whether that is food on the table, whether that is mercy and forgiveness and grace. I want you to think on the things of the goodness of the Lord right now. Set your mind on the goodness of the Lord. He is so good. He is so merciful. He is full of goodness. He never fails. He never forsakes us. He always rescues us. He redeems us. I want you to think about his faithfulness, the time that he saved your parents, the times that he set your parents free, the time that he saved your child, the time when it could have been you in that car, but it wasn't, the time that it could have been you in that situation, but it wasn't. I want you to think about the faithfulness of God. He has been so faithful, and he's going to be faithful from the generation to generation. So just think on the faithfulness of God right now, and we just set our minds on the faithfulness of God. I thank you, God, for your faithfulness. I thank you, God, for the faithfulness of this church. 25 years plus, the faithfulness that you have showed up, that you have poured out your spirit, that you have healed, that you have delivered, that you have come and you have brought salvation to people in this building. Thank you, God. Thank you for your faithfulness. You are a miracle working God. Can we say that together? You are a miracle working God. And we receive all that you have for us today. Would you say that with me? We receive all that you have for us today. Hold nothing back. Hold nothing back. Would you just put your hands out like this? Hold nothing back from us. We receive all that you have for us today. We receive all that you have for us today. Everything that you have for us. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Whew. I got to tell myself to calm down a little bit because I get a little loud and I get a little proud of what the Lord is doing. I like to laugh. Laughing is my favorite. So if I say something that's funny, I love to laugh. I think the Lord thinks that I love to laugh and he laughs with me, so... Anyway, I want to read a quote that I read and I've had with me for 5 years. And when I read it, it really changed my perspective. It says, "Today millions will gather to celebrate Jesus. So all over the world, in every church, in every city, someone is gathering to celebrate Jesus. Miracles will break out among the people. The sick will be healed. The deaf will hear. The lame will walk. The depressed will find joy, and the lonely will join a family. It's a season of extraordinary miracles, extraordinary supernatural interventions of God. Ready your heart and put on your seatbelt." I like that. I like that. Growing up in church, There was something that was always in my spirit anytime that I would come into the building, anytime, whether that was Wednesday night or whether that was Sunday morning. There was something. It wasn't something that my parents instilled in me. It wasn't something that my Sunday school teacher or my pastor shared with me, but it was something that I felt like was in my spirit, and that was, today is the day. Today is the day. And I honestly could probably count on one hand at times, and the times that I have walked into a place and felt discouragement. But every other time I have come in, anytime we're meeting, anytime I'm with somebody and we're talking about the Lord, there's something in my spirit that says, today is the day. And so I believe that today is the day for somebody in this room. So I'm going to be in the Gospel of Luke. If you guys want to turn there, it's going to be on the screen, Luke 8. Throughout the Gospels, we find that Jesus is doing two things, sometimes three. The first thing is he is healing people, and the second thing is he is teaching people, and the third is he's doing both. So he is always teaching, he is always performing miracles, signs, and wonders right before their eyes, and sometimes he is doing both. And crowds would often find him. They would travel miles and miles to get to him, press into him. They were desperate for him and for what he was doing. The lame, the deaf, the sick, the ones whose family members had died would travel just to be with the one named Jesus. They would lower people through roofs. They would bring him on stretchers. They would yell his name when he walked by and they were blind or begging. And he would touch them. People are desperate for Jesus and they need a touch. And so in Luke 8, I'm just going to kind of summarize this chapter. In Luke 8, at the beginning of it, he is teaching. And then he calms a storm where the disciples are in a boat, and he calms the storm. And then he heals a man with demons, sends the demons and the pigs. They run into the lake. The people are freaked, and they ask him to leave. Okay, so I want to pick up in Luke 8, verse 40. And you guys, I'm bringing back the Amplified version. It was dusty on the shelf for too long. It was crying out to be used. And so that is what's going to be on the screen. I love the words that it says in there. It says, "Now as Jesus was returning to Galilee, the people welcomed him, for they all had been expecting him. Now a man named Jairus, a synagogue official, came to him and fell at Jesus' feet and began begging him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years old, and she was dying." So Jairus was a leader in the local temple. We're going to pause there. He was a man of importance and probably a man of wealth. It doesn't state in scriptures, but I'm certain that a man of his importance probably did everything in his power to do whatever he could to help his daughter. But nothing helped. And so he heard of Jesus and he made his way to where Jesus was. And I could almost see him running. I could almost see him bolting, whatever he could do to get to the man that he knew that could heal. He was desperate. I want to summarize his story. I want to go down to verse 49. I'm not going to read it, but in verse 49, you will read that it talks about word gets back to Jairus and to Jesus that she had died. And Jesus says to him, "Do not fear, only believe, for she will be well." He makes his way to the house. And I love this. This could almost be another sermon for another day. But in verse 54, he goes in and everybody is weeping. And he says, "Why are you crying? She's only asleep." They start laughing. And Jesus says, "Get out of the house." And so he removes all the ones that have lack of faith. He's like, "Get out." So he only brings the certain ones that have faith. And takes the girl by the hand, and she wakes up, and she's hungry and ready to eat. Okay, so let's go to verse 42. "But when Jesus went, the people were crowding against him, almost crushing him. And a woman who had suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years and had spent all of her money on physicians and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his outer robe, and immediately her bleeding stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?'" A couple of things that stand out here, I want to pause. The first thing is, this woman has no name. There have been years and years since I was a teenager that I literally would pray and ask the Lord to just give me what her name is. What is her name? So I can mark that off in my Bible and just write her name above the woman with the issue of blood. Because she is known by her issue only. She could have been an amazing dancer. She could have been an amazing cook. She could have been an amazing intercessor. But her illness, her chronic illness, overshadowed her identity. And she is only known by the thing that she has suffered from. The second thing is she had spent all that she had. She had went to physician, to physician, to physician. And we love our doctors, but there are some times where they cannot offer any solution. And so she had used all that she had, 12 years of isolation, 12 years of being going from doctor to doctor to doctor, 12 years of loneliness, 12 years of weakness and loss of weight. There will be times when the only one that understands what we go through is Jesus. There will be times when no one else understands but Jesus. And the third thing is that her private suffering was a public matter. Can you imagine back then? She was unclean. This wasn't something from sin. This was just a physical problem that could be solved probably today because of where we're at. But it was a violation for anyone to touch her. She was supposed to call out, "Unclean, unclean," if she came into the vicinity of anyone. She knew the law. Anyone and everything that she touched would be unclean. Being unclean, according to Jewish law, you can look it up in Leviticus, meant major effects on her day-to-day. That meant that she would not be able to attend the temple or synagogue. She was cut off from her religious community and teaching. God's people and the place where we come together here today and find refuge and hope and encouragement was someplace that she could never go to. She was in permanent isolation, and her religious community disregarded her. Her issue began to overshadow her very existence, and it had replaced her name. But there was this day that I feel like she woke up and she was like, "I have got to get to the one who will heal me. I have got to reach in. I have got to get there." And it's almost like, I wish I could do a human video. You guys, who loves human videos? Who grew up with human videos? I love them for a season. But anyway, I wish that I could show you, because in my mind, I feel like she is in this crowd, and she is in her mind, she is asking for forgiveness because she knows the law. She knows the word. She knows what she's supposed to do and what she's not supposed to do. She is supposed to say, "Unclean, unclean, I'm touching you. That means you're unclean and I'm unclean." And she is making a mess, but there's something inside of her that is like, "I've got to reach him. I have got to reach out to him." And there's something inside of her that says, if only I touch the hem, if only I touch the thread, if only I touch the tassel, I will be healed. And she did, and she was. And so in verse 45, let's go there. Now remember, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter and those who were with him said, "Master, the people are crowding and pushing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me because I was aware that the power to heal had gone out from me." Whew. There was power that was released from Jesus. So he knew she couldn't just secretly touch and go. When the woman saw that she could not escape, could you just imagine? She was just like, "Okay, I'm out of here. Thank you." But you know what I love about Jesus? He wants community. He wants relationship. He's not going to let her go. You know why? Because there's more work to do. And so what she does is she has this boldness. And so the woman saw that she could not escape, and she came trembling and fell down before him, and she declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." In a single word, "daughter," Jesus had transformed this woman's identity. She was no longer unclean. She was no longer an outcast. Notice how she declared in the presence of probably the religious community, probably her neighbors, probably her friends, of the reason why she came in the first place. Fear was gone, so she didn't care. She was healed. She was healed. God doesn't do things just by coincidence. You have Jairus, who has a 12-year-old girl that is about on the brink of womanhood who is dying. You have a woman who for 12 years, her womanhood was robbed from her. This is not a coincidence of this story where Jesus completely heals one little girl who's about ready to be a woman and a woman who had an issue. He loves women and he loves to heal and he loves to preserve and he loves to set identity back. But also, Jairus was a part of that too. And he loved Jairus's heart. He loved that no matter what, he knew and he said to him, "Be still, be still. I'm calming what's inside of you. Man, I'm calming what's inside of you. I am setting your identity right too, because you feel all out of control and I'm in charge and I am going to bring your daughter back to life." You guys, today it's no mistake that you are here. I have been praying over this word and praying over whoever was going to hear and be in this room. But I have to ask you a question. Is there an issue in your life that is dragging you down? Is there an issue that you have tried all that you know, that you have been to doctor after doctor, and again, we love our doctors, and you have been to neighbor, and you've tried this remedy, and you've tried this advice, and you've read this book, and you've lost hope, and you feel desperate for relief? I want you to know that I have been there. I have been there when someone can't answer what's going on with you. When it just doesn't add up and everything comes back normal and you're still not feeling right. I have been there when someone can't answer the question if I'm going to be healed. I remember what that felt like. And my advice to you is don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop asking. Don't stop reaching until you feel the him, until he has touched you. We are all dealing with difficult circumstances that will try to define who we are, but only if we allow them. And just like that woman, I hope that we have a day where we wake up and we say, "Today, no matter what, I'm going to lay on that floor and I am not getting up until I hear from him." We live in a society, again, that's clamoring for our attention, and one quick text message gets one quick answer. That's not how it is. Your one quick prayer doesn't equal a one quick answer, and we are doing an injustice to our children and their children and ourselves to think that God moves in our own timing. That is not how it works. But there comes a time where you have to literally get to a place where you're like, "Today I'm going to reach and I'm going to reach and I'm going to touch him today because I want a touch from the one that can restore me." Would you stand today? Ministry team, I want to invite the ministry team to come forward today. There is a statistic that I read about three times this week in three different sources, and so I think maybe I should say it. We learn by 50% of what we see and hear. We learn from 80% of experience and 95% of what we teach. And I want to leave room for that 80% experience for you today. As we close today, I want to make time for you to meet with Jesus. I don't know what issue it is that you have, but we want to open this time for prayer. I know that there are things to do. I know that there's lunches to go to. I know that there's flowers to get. I know that there's moms to celebrate. I know that there's places to go, but I want to leave time for you to come and be prayed with, be prayed for. I am believing today that you are like that woman, that you are like that man. This is not just a women's issue. This is a man who is desperate and a woman who is desperate for a touch from God. When I was praying about this message, I got a picture of a man in my mind who had an amazing career, but something happened physically on the job and you were physically hurt. And it was almost like discouragement came and wrapped you up like in a blanket, and you can't get out of this fog where your identity is in the accident. Your identity is what happened to you. And God is saying, no, no, you are a son, you are a daughter. And I believe today he is reclaiming that place in your mind. And so if that's you today, I want to invite you to come down for prayer. If there is any issue in your life today that you want somebody to pray with you about, I want you to go ahead and come. And at the close of our service, I just want to pray a blessing over the rest of you as you go today and celebrate the women of your life. So Lord, I pray for the people in this service. I pray for the ones in the family center. God, I pray that you would bless them. Bless their day. I pray that, God, that you would activate their senses. I pray that they would see you, feel you, hear you, touch you in a way that they've never felt you before. Be with them as they go out today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're needing prayer today, go ahead and come forward.